It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
Well, if it's 5 o'clock in New York, it means it's time to check out what's going on breaking news-wise, and that's what we do at Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, a big news hour that we have ahead for you. We will speak with the father of one of the quarterbacks that may be headed to the Super Bowl. Steve Keenum will be here to talk about his son Case's miraculous play from last week, plus Imogene Lloyd Webber and Kaylee McEnany. But we start with Congressman Dan Donovan. Don't go away. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Thank you to the March for Life. Special people. And we are with you all the way. May God bless you, and may God bless America. Thank you.
Monumental day in our nation's capital, and that's really an understatement. For a Friday, you've got so much going on in D.C. Normally, the having been someone who worked in D.C. for a good amount of time, normally by Thursday afternoon, people are jet-setting back home to their districts. Not the case today, because there's a looming government shutdown. The largest activist demonstration in Washington, D.C. annually is also going on. And there's blockbuster news of a memo that seems to detail some very troublesome things about how the Obama administration may have used surveillance rules. Here to discuss all of these things as they affect the House of Representatives is Staten Island's own Dan Donovan, who is in a not tight. He's in a competitive race for his seat, but someone I'm going to be backing 100% as we go forward. Dan, welcome back to Kevin McCullough Radio. It's good to have you back with us.
And it's great to be with you, as always, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
Dan, let me start with this story that started out this morning. Some of the members are aware of this in the House Intelligence Committee memo that seems to detail some abuses of the former administration and the way they use surveillance laws. Have you been able to have any insight on what the memo contains, and do you believe it should be made public to the American people?
I do have some insight, Kevin. I actually read the document yesterday. It's a top secret document. Obviously, I can't speak about its contents. We have to make sure that we don't reveal any methods or sources in how we obtain information. But it is something I think if it's scrubbed out, I think if it's redacted, some of the things that we need to protect, I think the public ought to see it.
I don't want you, obviously, I don't want you to violate your oath of office, but are you saying that because there is a degree of abuse that can be indicated that has occurred that the American people would be surprised at if we were aware of it?
I can't really. I have to be very cautious in commenting, Kevin, but I think it's something that we can protect what we need to protect and unveil to the public what had taken place, and so they can make their own judgment. But it is something I think that in a society where we protect Americans' rights, protect their privacy rights, I think it's something that we ought to let the public make a determination for themselves. It's something that the public ought to know about their government.
That's a very fair statement, Congressman. And again, not trying to get you in trouble, just trying to get a real clear understanding. And you've joined a cacophony of voices that are calling for it to be made public. So I'm grateful for your input on that. Let's turn real quickly to the March for Life. You said you've seen no network coverage of it, which I think is consistent. Yet it's annually one of the largest turnouts in Washington, D.C. People that care about the sanctity of human life and care about the Supreme Court and care about how we approach women in crisis pregnancies, all very much involved in this annual event. What's been your impression of how it's gone on about today?
They've taken over the Hill, Kevin. It's remarkable turnout from the Supreme Court to the Capitol to all of the office buildings surrounding the Hill. It's a tremendous outpour of participation. And it occurred on the same day that this morning the House voted on and passed a bill that would require a doctor to medically treat a child who survives an abortion procedure. As we all know, your listeners are aware, there are children who during an abortion procedure are born alive, and right. Our bill would require a doctor to give that child the same treatment, the same care it would give any child during a birth.
Which should automatically be the law because of the First Amendment. But I certainly believe, Congressman, that if this bill makes it to President Trump's desk, he's going to sign it faster than you can blink. And I'm very happy to hear that progress. I had not even heard that that progress has taken place in the House today. What's your feeling on how the Senate will respond to it?
You know, it's always hard to find and figure out what those guys are doing over there. We're in the middle of a crisis where the government may shut down. We have
right.
The Democratic Senate is threatening to shut down our government over something that isn't necessary to do at this moment in the final hours. So you never know what's going to happen over there. It's my hope that they see the issue of life and the survival of a child who survives abortion procedure the
sure.
same way we all do and pass it. And I think you're absolutely right. President Trump will sign that bill, no pun intended, but he'll sign it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well put. Let's turn finally to the biggest story of the day, which is the looming shutdown. As we're talking here, we're 7 hours away from this kicking in. And, you know, there's been all kinds of theatrics and, attempted arm twisting. And one of the things I was impressed about was earlier today, this morning and this afternoon, it was reported that President Trump was working the phones, trying to find the votes to get the continuing resolution going forward. But Congressman Donovan, I want people to understand very clearly that the Democratic Party is making, they're staking a claim here. And where they're staking their claim is in support of about 700,000 people who are not citizens of our country. And they are pitting those people against 9 million impoverished children who are citizens, our nation's military, key services to seniors and to others in the threat of the shutdown. Congressman Donovan, it seems as though the Democrats have chosen sides and they've chosen to support people that aren't Americans over actual Americans.
It's remarkable to me. There's no one who sent their member of Congress down here, whether it be a member of the House or a member of the Senate. No one has sent their voice down here to shut their government down. They sent us down here to make their government work better for them. And to pit the child health insurance program, we're going to authorize that, extend that for another 6 years. Children who need health care is in this bill. It's uncontroversial. The only thing that was added to that bill was something that's non-controversial, and the Democrats over in the Senate are holding this up because they want a clean DACA fix. And this is after negotiating with the President and the House that any reform would also have to include border security, eliminating this ridiculous visa lottery system that we have, that we allow people in our country just because we don't have enough people from that particular country here in the United States, and to figure out where do we cut off this chain migration. Is it brothers and sisters, moms and dads, or do we go to second aunts from your father's side, third removed? So these are the things that need to be worked out. The Democrats agreed in the White House at that meeting with the President that these are the issues that we would negotiate, we would debate, and we'd find a solution for. Yet they're going to shut down the government because they want a clean DACA fix with nothing else in it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't understand their positioning of DACA kids versus poor children who need health care. And you're right. This has never been a Republican issue. And yet you guys are willing to go there and to say, hey, this is worth renewing for 6 years. You get 6 years worth of more health care for these impoverished kids.
And Kevin, there are states that are running out of this CHIP money, this child health insurance program. They're running out of money. They won't have money for the children's health care in certain states. So this is essential that this was put in. This isn't a plum. This isn't something added. This isn't sugar on top. This is something that's essential to many states that are going to run out of health care money for their children. And that's why it's in this continuing resolution that we passed this morning in the House. And we're hoping that the Senate comes to their senses and passes it this evening.
Yeah. In the event that the shutdown would proceed, and Mr. Mulvaney spoke from the White House earlier today saying that this will be unlike the Obama shutdown, talk to us about how important it is that people understand the difference.
Yeah, I mean, the last shutdown, I believe, was 17 days. If the shutdown does occur, and again, Kevin, for your listeners, I voted not to shut down our government. We don't want to shut down our government. But if it does, they will work over the weekend. It would be an inconvenience for many, many people. Our military will still be in force, but a lot of our non-essential workers, the people that aren't deemed to be essential for the safety of our country or to keep our country running, will be on a furlough, and they won't get paid, and there'll be a lot of things that are closed.
And I'll get more details on this as we go through the show. Congressman Dan Donovan, thank you so much for standing up for life. Thank you for voting. Thank you for putting the American children first. We appreciate you being here as well.
Good to be with you, Kevin. Thank you.
Kevin McCullough Radio continues next.
Joe Walsh has a very simple immigration policy.
You know my immigration policy. It's really pretty simple. Nobody should be in this country illegally. Nobody. Nobody. Did you hear me? I said nobody. Nobody should be in this country illegally. And our border should be secure. And that means a wall. That means build a wall.
The Joe Walsh Radio Program. Weeknights at 9, right before Eric Metaxas at 11 on AM 970. The Answer.
Saturday, the Hall takes on the Xavier Musketeers. This is Dave Popkin. Join me along with Gary Cohen for all the action. Pregame at 2:20, the opening tip at 2:30 p.m. Xavier at Seton Hall on AM 970, The Answer.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
We love the product. I think we've been on it for, 12 years now, or pretty close, and we believe in it, and we're going to continue taking it.
I have a $1,200 knee brace because I have bone on bone in my left knee, and I have a torn cartilage in my right knee. And since I've been taking Balance of Nature, I don't wear my brace, and I can walk without pain. It's I have these copper things I used to put on my knees. I don't use those either. I don't use anything. I think it's just wonderful.
Have the confidence that you're giving your body what it needs. Call now to receive 35% off your first Balance of Nature order. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code The Answer.
Water, contamination, drought, rationing. You don't know how much you need water till it's scarce. This week on Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Chris O'May, we deal with the legalities of California's water crisis and what's called a wallet policy. It's going to cost you on your water bill and in grocery prices. You'll hear about it here first. Tune in Champions of Justice, Sunday mornings at 10 here on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, this is Chris King. Join Greg Picker and me Monday night at 9 p.m. when the New York Islanders travel to Glendale, Arizona to face off with the Coyotes. Right here on your home for Islanders hockey, AM 970, The Answer.
How's that kitchen remodel coming along?
I haven't found a reliable contractor and have no idea where to start.
What about HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor. They match you to pre-screened and top-rated pros for any kind of home project. You can even check pricing and book appointments online.
What's the catch?
No catch. HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Really? I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
HomeAdvisor.
Proving that he may be ready for prime time. Frank Morano. Sunday mornings at 4 on AM 970. The Answer.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Yes, the president is very engaged. He's doing his part to make sure this happens. The votes that we need, frankly, are Senate Democrat votes.
Well, and there's real truth to that because he was working the phones like a madman this morning. Reports out of the White House, He was working individual phone calls to members of Congress, specifically senators, to try to get this shutdown avoided. You just heard from Dan Donovan. Let's get a different perspective. Kayleigh McEnany, the RNC spokesperson, and joins us. She's also author of the terrific new book, The New American Revolution, The Making of a Populist Movement. You heard all about it on this show last week. Kayleigh, welcome back. Big day in Washington, D.C. today. Got a lot of visitors from out of town. Lots of stuff going on.
Lots of stuff going on, from the shutdown to the March for Life. So it's a big, busy day, one event better than the other, obviously.
How important is it that President Trump took time out today to address the March for Life? Not necessarily in person, but as close as we've come to it yet.
Very important. This president has been the most pro-life, pro-religious freedom president that we've seen in quite some time. As you mentioned, the first president to take the time to speak for the March for Life. He is an advocate of the bill currently circulating on the Hill, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which protects unborn fetuses from 20 weeks and on, and actually criminalizes abortion providers who provide an abortion for a fetus capable of feeling pain. So he is someone who has been pro-life, pro-religious freedom, and of course just yesterday at HHS a new division opened to protect people for religious to protect religious freedom. So an exciting day in Washington for sure.
Yeah, for people that went a little bit quickly past, the change yesterday allows doctors and medical providers to on a religious basis say, I don't feel good in my conscience performing that act, therefore I'm going to be able to opt out of that. It's a religious conscience exemption. And before, Kayleigh, in the Obama administration, that administration had actually weaponized the requirement of doctors to do things that they didn't want to do, and it really violated their consciences.
Absolutely. I mean, it's no secret that the past administration was not a fan or a proponent of religious freedom, of course, forcing the Sisters of the Poor to provide contraception. I spoke with attorneys at First Liberty who just gave me awful horror stories about people forced to violate their conscience. A young woman named Alexia Palma, forced to quit her job, actually, because she wouldn't teach a lesson on contraception and abortion. And cases like that, sadly, were all too common in the Obama administration.
Yeah. Well, President Trump trying to do something about that. Okay, Kayleigh, the big question on everybody's mind, is the government going to shut down 7 hours from now?
Yeah, and Mark Short has told us, of course, that he thinks it's a 50% to 60% chance that it will shut down, and we should be very clear about where the blame lies, and that's with Democrats. I know you've been hammering them on Twitter all morning, as you should, because they're making the choice to uphold the rights or provide amnesty, fight for amnesty for 700,000 illegal immigrants at the expense of 9 million sick children, some of them sick, but all of them impoverished, and bar them essentially from getting access to health care by stopping this bill.
Yeah. Kayleigh, it's not only that. There's a sinister element to this that I've been understated about. You know, because we were talking in our midst of our media hits yesterday, that I was asked to talk about the revoking of the, or the evolving on the issue of the wall. And when I did my hit with a young Democrat activist from New Jersey, he, at the end of the 5 minutes, he made this comment about how, well, you know, it might not be such a bad thing if the shutdown went through. And then he gave this big grin. I went back and rewatched the hit today, and I was like, there's something perverse about a party that is just can't get over the giddiness that they're feeling, that they're going to be able to shut down this government. And that's a very strange thing to realize, when in the past government shutdowns have always ended badly, and usually the people that have caused them are the ones that get blamed for them.
That's right. And, you know, what you just told me about the Democrat you debated, that reaction comports with what we're seeing here. As President Trump has said, Democrats want a shutdown. In fact, some are excited about it, it seems. And, you know, Mick Mulvaney, it was really interesting to watch his press conference and to hear him talk about in 2013, you know, Obama never picked up the phone, didn't try to avert the shutdown. In fact, seemed to want it, promote it, encourage it, as opposed to this president who's picking up the phone, trying his best to get Democrats on board. You have a president trying to stop it after a president who tried to push it forward in the Obama administration.
Well, and not only that, weaponized it to the greatest extent possible. made it the cruelest thing that it could be, that it could be felt, closing down the parks, closing down access to the White House, closing down, you know, every single conceivable thing that it could possibly do to hurt the American people. Obama did it. And it was interesting hearing Mr. Mulvaney discuss that, because he said, you know, that didn't have to happen. There are some forward funds that we can use to keep things going for a period of time, and it's the Trump's administration's commitment to do that.
That is exactly right. And Mick Mulvaney, I mean, what a brilliant guy, and encouraging to have him at the top as we do appear to enter a shutdown. And as he said, you know, Obama did not encourage agencies to use carry forward funding or use transfer authority. Basically, there are ways that agencies can ameliorate the pain and make sure folks get paid, or at least get as many people paid as you can. And Mick Mulvaney is the guy at the top that's going to make sure to prioritize the interests of the American people, not those of the self-interested politicians, as we saw in the Obama decade.
I think it's a very stark reality when one political party is excited and giddy and kind of rubbing their hands and licking their chops at the idea that we're going to shut down our military, that we're going to neutralize their effectiveness in some places, that we're going to have border security that's going to be shut down for a period of time, that there's going to be people, senior citizens and others, that are going to be impacted by this, that will suffer. And as you mentioned, most of all, they had attached this six-year funding, pledged funding for the CHIP program, which isn't really a Republican initiative. It's been a Democrat champion thing. It started with Hillary Clinton. It was her thing back in the day. But they've pledged to see to it that those 9 million kids get health care provided for them. And you're literally in every one of those boxes. It's American children, American military, American borders, American seniors. They're all the ones being hurt. Who are the Democrats standing up with? Non-citizens, people
that
aren't even members of our nation.
That's right. Trump promised America first, and that's what he's doing by trying to avert this shutdown.
Democrats want to make other people their priority, not America. It's a very interesting contrast, Kayleigh McEnany. Thanks for your analysis of it. We'll talk again soon.
It is. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Get her book, The New American Revolution, The Making of a Populist Movement. You want to read this, friends, You also need some Kleenexes when you read portions of it as well. Kevin McCullough coming right back, talking to a man who might be the starting quarterback of the Super Bowl this year. Stay with us.
There's a lot to learn and understand when getting ready to buy a home. Having a right lending team in place who can help is important. The lending experts at Citizens Bank can answer your questions about home borrowing or how to get started with a mortgage pre-approval. Call Citizens Bank at 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender. City and State and AARP are proud to present the third annual 50 Over 50 Awards themed The Age of the Disruptors. Join City and State on January 29th at the Mezzanine in downtown Manhattan to celebrate the 50 distinguished public servants who've committed decades of their lives to making the city a better place to live and work. 10 of these honorees will be recognized as Lifetime Achievement Award recipients, including former New York City Mayor David Dinkins, former NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton, New York City Education Chancellor Carmen Farina, Reverend Al Sharpton, American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten, and many more. Visit cityandstateny.com to view the full list of recipients. To purchase tickets to the January 29th 50 Over 50 Awards reception, please visit cityandstateny.com and click on Upcoming Events. That's cityandstateny.com and click on Upcoming Events.
This is Greg Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join me for Reaching Out. We'll talk about the issues that matter the most to working families, union members, and everyone who cares about the future.
On the next Reaching Out, Greg speaks with three former high-ranking correction officials who say they were fired when they uncovered numbers on jailhouse violence that were being suppressed. It's Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, Saturday night at 7 on AM 970, The Answer.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM970, theanswer.com.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
You asked me about this moment. What this moment meant to me is probably going to go down as the third best moment of my life behind giving my life to Jesus Christ, marrying my wife, and this one's right there close.
Like the rest of the country, I was sitting on my sofa last weekend, and when that game came to an end, now those of you that don't know what that audio is from, that's Case Keenum, the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, and he had just completed the most inconceivable ending to a playoff game where there had been three lead changes in the final minute, and he had connected with a wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, and had scored a 60-something yard touchdown to win the game as time ran out. In fact, the time ran out so abruptly that they had to call all the players back on the field because everybody thought the game was over. They had to hike the ball for the point after. That's how quickly it was done. But I remember the minute that he said that, what you just heard, that little soundbite, I immediately threw it up on the social media, Twitter and Facebook, because that was a rather impressive response. Very casual. Yeah, it's the third best in my life behind those other two things. Someone who may have some perspective on that is the father of Case Keenum, the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, and that is Steve Keenum, his dad, who now joins us. Steve, welcome to Kevin McCullough Radio. It's good to have you.
Well, thanks, Kevin. It's good to be here as Case's dad. That's me.
When you heard the question, and, you know, you're a dad, and you follow Case's games, and you pulling for him, and you know, you're saying all the things internally that nobody else says. You know, oh, come on, son, you can do this. Oh, look out over there. Like, there's, I know the turmoil because I got three boys of my own. So there's all this stuff that's going on inside of you. But when he gets asked the question before he gave his answer, were you confident that he was going to answer it the way he said it?
Well, obviously, when all that was going on, I couldn't hear it because we were in the stands. But when we did see it, did it surprise me that that took place? No, because I know about his faith and I know about his relationship with Christ. And that's one of those things you just don't think about. That's got to be the Spirit of God moving on him at that point. And, I mean, that's just the nature of who he is. And that's part of what makes me extremely proud of him.
Well, it was a very extraordinary year for him, and for some people here in the New York area or even across the country that they may not know, he was the starting third-string quarterback going into the season. He was not the starter. He was the third-string quarterback going into the season. Is that correct?
Well, that's one of those things because Teddy Bridgewater was on injured reserve, and when he signed the contract, it was really to come in to compete as the backup for Sam Bradford, and then he won that role, and then Sam got hurt in the first ball game, and, well, now you know the rest.
Yeah. Well, and they've had an extraordinary year. And in fact, because of Case's amazing kind of personality that I saw in that one soundbite, I'm pulling for them the rest of the way. I'm a diehard Dallas fan myself. But is this a year of destiny for the Vikings? I mean, considering all the adversity that they've had to overcome, what say you?
Well, you know, destiny, I don't know. I just know it's been an extremely wild and fun ride for him and our family. It's been great to see him be in a situation where he's had a chance to excel. And it's just a remarkable thing. I can't begin to tell you how many people have reached out and want to talk about this thing that you've asked about.
Sure.
And just what happened that last minute, what we were feeling and all those things. So destiny, maybe. But you can't know that until after it's all said and done.
Well, and I mentioned that there were three lead changes in the last minute. So he takes the team down. They get the go-ahead field goal. But they left enough time on the clock for Drew Brees to work his magic. And he did that. And then they got it back. And I believe the down before that one, they had a penalty or something. It didn't look like this was going to be, you know, a typical opportunity to hit that winning score, and yet there it was at the end of the game. The defender goes in front of the wide receiver. He goes up and grabs the ball, and there's no one behind him. It's just clear blue sailing. What went through your mind in that moment?
Well, I was thinking like everybody else, you know, catch the ball, get out of bounds, let's kick a field goal and try to win it by 1 point. And then when all of that movement took place and he popped out, you're going, holy cow. Is he really fixing to do what I think he's fixing to do? And then sure enough, and then it's the truest example of pandemonium I have ever seen.
Sure.
I mean, it is absolutely bonkers in the stands.
I'm surprised the stadium held up, given all the jumping up and down that was going on. Steve, one of the things that's real important about your family is that you are believers in Jesus Christ, and he didn't shy away from that. You're part of a group called FCA. Real quickly, what does FCA do?
Well, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is who we are. We're an organization that started in 1954 by a basketball coach who was just looking around the country and saw professional and college athletes promoting everything. And he just had the thought that, you know, they could promote their faith in Christ. And that ministry got started. You know, it's an unlikely thing that Branch Rickey, who is famous in baseball lore, had a major part in that. And it started with camps for college athletes, and it's grown to one of the largest, if not the largest, sports ministry in the world.
Well, if people have more need for more information, I would point them to FCA.org. And Steve, go Vikes this weekend. Thanks for being with us.
Mike Gallagher says talk of a coup is no laughing matter.
I want you to consider the seriousness of an attempt at a coup. This isn't funny.
This isn't lighthearted.
This shouldn't be just gossip. Watching people attempt to take down a presidency is starting to really get my attention.
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekdays at 10, right before Dennis Prager at 1 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Most powerful lesson I ever learned about the power of precious metals comes from the $20 gold piece. Do you know about it? The $20 one-ounce gold St. Gaudens coin that Landmark Capital is giving away a number of years ago was only worth $20. In fact, if you had a $20 bill and $20 gold piece, you could go to the finest haberdashery in Manhattan and buy a man's suit with it. Now, you can still buy the suit with the $20 gold piece. You can also buy it with the value of the suit, but you can't use a $20 bill to get it anymore. That's just how valuable gold is. And right now, Landmark Capital wants you to win a one-ounce gold piece, $20 St. Gaudens coin, on April the 2nd. We're going to pull the winning name on March the 31st on my show. So go online now to register. You're also going to get the $180 Survival Financial Kit for 2018 as well when you register. Go online and register for your free gold coin, am970theanswer.com. Go now, am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com.
We all know the secret to the best Italian food is the sauce. And no one has sauce as good as Michael's of Brooklyn. Their sauce is made from scratch, using only the best ingredients. But don't take our word for it. Stop at any of your local supermarkets and pick up a jar, or listen to the Joe Piscopo Morning Show every Wednesday for a chance to win a whole case of Michael's delicious, authentic, and fresh sauce. You can also enter online at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. Good luck.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law and wondered to yourself, what's the best course of action to take? Every Thursday during Kevin McCullough Radio at 5 o'clock on AM 970 The Answer, you'll hear Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law answer a listener's actual question. If you have a legal question for Mike Connors, the Ask the Lawyer host, simply email the question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call the Legal Question of the Week phone line at 347-735-MIKE. That's 347-735-6453. And don't forget to tune in to Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors every Saturday evening at 6 on AM 970 The Answer.
An accountant in New York City is wanted. Duties include prepare, analyze financial reports to maintain record of assets, liabilities, profit and loss, tax liability. Develop and analyze budgets, prepare periodic reports comparing budgeted costs to actual costs, develop and modify current accounting system, advise management about resource utilization, tax strategies, and the assumptions underlying budget forecasts, investigate accounting and financial irregularities. A master degree in professional accountancy or accounting is required. Send the resume to Bank of Communications Company, LTD, New York Branch, 55 Broadway, 31st and 32nd Floor, New York, New York, 10006. Again, send the resume to Bank of Communications Company, LTD, New York Branch, 55 Broadway, 31st and 32nd Floor, New York, New York, 10006.
Your car has some impressive technology. Direct fuel injection, GPS navigation, even seat warmers. And at Rain-X, we think your wiper blades should too. While traditional wiper blades can cause streaking from uneven pressure points, Rain-X's contoured blades hug your windshield, maintaining an even pressure distribution from end to end and providing a clean, smooth wipe. Don't settle for less. Pick up a pair of Rain-X blades today.
Find Rain-X Latitude Water Repellency and exclusive Rain-X Expert Fit Wiper Blades at Walmart. Rain-X, outsmart the elements.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at am970theanswer.com. Happening in New York or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, on Fridays, we usually take a little bit of time out and we talk with an almost extinct creature. I have great fun at Michael's expense, reminding him that he's the only living Broadway columnist employed by a major newspaper in existence anywhere in the world anymore. He's literally the only one of his kind left. And last week we were joking about him stepping off a curb, getting hit by a bus, and lo and behold, he's not here this week. I don't know what happened. I hope he didn't get hit by a bus. I don't think he did. I think he's on vacation in Florida. But tomorrow, in his stead, on his great talk show on the town, his good friend, Imogen Lloyd Webber, who has made our acquaintance in the past, is going to return. So I asked her if she'd be back today. And Imogen, it's good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Happy Friday.
Now, I want to know, and thank you very much. I hope you have a happy Friday as well. I want to know, you and Michael have been friends for how many years?
Probably 6 or 7 years. I moved to America 8 years ago, and Riedel, as you mentioned, is the theater columnist for New York Post, and I literally actively avoided him for 2 years. I thought, I don't want to know this man. He's a vulture. He's going to be awful. Absolutely not. We ended up, for various professional reasons, in the end meeting, and he is now one of my closest friends in the entire world. We're sort of constantly texting each other and teasing each other, and he makes me laugh. And he's truly somebody who, when he is off the record, he's off the record. So that's part of the reason why he's hung around so long, and why he's the only one left, as you say.
Yeah, no, I get that. And, you know, it's been fun to I didn't know anything about Broadway when we started those segments. And I've been a quick study because of his intense knowledge for the many years he goes back. What's something that the average person doesn't know about Michael Riedel that you've learned about him in those 7 years?
That's a fascinating question. I think what's fascinating about Riedel is that his knowledge is not just about Broadway. He loves history. He loves books. I mean, I'm in a book club with him, for instance. And he's sort of passionate about a huge variety of subjects.
What are you guys reading right now? What's the current reading in the book club?
We're doing an Iris Murdoch, which I haven't even begun yet. It's so big. It's over 500 pages, and I'm busy. So I've got to the end of February.
Well, so you're the daughter of Mr. Andrew Lloyd Webber, and you're the best friend of Michael Riedel. And you yourself, very accomplished as well. You've commented on politics and other things. Now you stay up to date on what's going on Broadway. You're part of the Broadway.com family, is that correct?
I am part of the Broadway.com family. I also commentate on the Royal Family for People magazine. They have a TV show, so I do that.
That's right. You told me that last time, and my wife was like, oh, Kev, there's a whole list of questions I have for you the next time. And I forgot all about that. But
I do that. So it's going to be fun tomorrow, actually, because, you know, there's a lot of my interests there. We are doing a bit of Broadway, but we're also going to be talking to Michelle Torber of People magazine, who is one of their Royals correspondents, getting all the scoop on sort of Meghan and Harry. And also this bizarre fascination that Americans do have with the Royals, which on some levels is ridiculous because you kicked the Royals out like, a couple of hundred years ago now, longer than that. So quite why you love them so much, who knows? But Meghan Markle has certainly been God's gift to American entertainment media, let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, she, well, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on that because she's a non-traditional kind of royal. She certainly even has, you know, having been married before and other things, there's, you know, some kind of curveballs with her. But in terms of her poise and her dignity and how she carries herself, she seems to be just cut of exactly the right thing that Harry would need. But what's the read on it for someone who studies the royals all the time?
To not get too Freudian here, I think Prince Harry has married his mother. He's married a superstar. And certainly Meghan Markle has the ability to sort of transcend royalty. There's something magical about her. There's been this sort of video that we do talk about. We'll be talking about tomorrow, viral video that on Facebook of Meghan Markle a few years ago talking about when she was aged 11 and sort of was protesting about a washing up liquid advertisement back in the day, and how she sort of managed to change this massive sort of advertising campaign when she was just 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
So if any of your listeners are on Facebook, they probably saw this sort of viral video. So there's something very special about her, and there has obviously always been. And it's going to be fascinating to see what she does, you know, with the royal family. You know, there is less pressure on Prince Harry now because, of course, Princess
sure.
Kate, as we call her at People, is pregnant again. And so Prince Harry is about to be bumped down to sixth in line to the throne. You know, he's not ever going to be king. So he does have a little bit more leeway than, say, William and Kate.
Yeah. What's your take on that level of the royal family tree and the success they will find in marriage, do you think, over the long term? I mean, the prince's father was just one of all. I mean, all the children, I guess, are no longer married to their first spouses. And it seems
three out of four got divorced.
OK, my bad.
I mean, yeah, no. You know,
it's been a rocky road for that group.
It's been a rocky
group.
Road, but also back in the day, you know, the royals were very restrictive on who they could marry. So Prince Charles didn't get to marry the love of his life first time around Camilla,
right.
Because she wasn't deemed as completely appropriate. And that's why he ended up with Princess Diana. The royalty to survive has to adapt over time. So what you've found now is that the Queen has adapted, the royals have adapted, and so suddenly you have Meghan Markle, who's an American divorcee, and she's allowed to marry Prince Harry. Now, of course, there was the abdication crisis back in the 1930s when King Edward at the time was trying to marry Wallis Simpson, and he simply wasn't allowed. He had to give up the throne
for
her.
Right.
So the times have changed, and that's also, you know, why the British monarchy has survived, because it has adapted over time. And the Queen, for instance, I think, you know, Princess Diana was all about making the monarchy more approachable and accessible. And if you think about the Queen, by the 2012 London Olympics, the Queen was doing a skit with James Bond. Now, that would never have happened, you know, before Diana.
True.
That would have never happened sort of 50 years ago if any of your listeners have been watching The Crown. I mean, that would have been unthinkable.
Right.
And then suddenly, you know, she's with Daniel Craig jumping out of a helicopter. It was amazing.
Speaking of The Crown and Victoria, both series very critically well received here in America. How have they gone over in the United Kingdom?
Oh, adored, absolutely adored. And actually, I have Robert Rourke of the New York Post on tomorrow as well, talking about the sort of success of these TV shows, this side of the pond, The Crown, Victoria. He recently interviewed Jenna Coleman, who is the lead actress who plays Victoria,
Victoria.
In that PBS series. And it is fascinating. I think on some levels, because we still have the monarchy, it's that wonderful connection with our history. So we get to see all the stuff on the
I like them because I think they've been very respectful of the people involved, and I think that it's been my impression that that they've been very honorable works in that regard. Hey, catch her tomorrow here in New York on AM 970 The Answer. She's in for Michael Riedel, the one, the only, the amazing Imogen Lloyd Webber, filling in for the world's last Broadway columnist. Imogen, it's been great to have you. Thanks for
being
here.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Kevin McCullough Radio, coming right back.
Water, contamination, drought, rationing. You don't know how much you need water till it's scarce. This week on Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Chris O'May, we deal with the legalities of California's water crisis and what's called a wallet policy. It's going to cost you on your water bill and in grocery prices. You'll hear about it here first. Tune in Champions of Justice, Sunday mornings at 10 here on AM 970 The Answer.
Hey, Butch, all I ever see you eat is raw meat, whiskey, and an occasional bowl of rusty nails. Now, I know you're tough, but with your diet, what's your secret to avoiding the flu?
Jim, this is between us. You hear?
Sure, Butch, you can trust me.
Well, I take Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. I take them on the go or under the table when no one's looking. It's the only way I'd ever get over 10 real servings of fruits and vegetables.
Is it like a vitamin or something?
No, it's food. They only use real whole ingredients. Not that isolated or synthetic crap you get with all the other guys. This is real stuff, Jim. Real stuff. They sell direct to consumers and ship right to your door, free of charge.
Well, Buckaroo, how do I get them?
Call them at 1-800-246-8751. Write it down, Jim, before someone sees me. It's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code WEST for a special offer.
Hi, Phil Van Horn here from Blue Rock Energy. This harsh winter weather is bringing big increases to your energy bill. And it's not just because you're using more. Rates actually spike during the colder months. Lock in your natural gas and electricity rates with Blue Rock Energy today, and you can protect yourself from this year's market volatility in a way that your local utility company just can't offer. After all, seasons change, but your energy rates don't have to. Visit BlueRockEnergy.com today to learn more and make the free switch to a fixed-rate energy plan.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
And thank you for being here. Haven't mentioned this in the last couple of days, but if you would like to get financially prepared for the coming correction, and every day I've gotten into this weird kind of habit now. Darren, our sales guy, and a guy that used to work here, liked to troll me on Twitter. And so whenever I get, you know, I see a headline that's interesting, I shoot it back to them. So this morning I sent them a screenshot of, you know, that real conservative publication, CNBC. I sent a screenshot of their headline, which said stock market value under Trump has grown by nearly $7 trillion. It's now basically $31 trillion in total value. $7 trillion. Do you know how many dollars are in a trillion? The market has added that since he was elected. And that's already nearly half what the market grew for the whole 8 years that Obama was in. So what Obama did for the market in 8 years, he did in 1 year. So I shoot this to Darren and some of the other guys. Oh, well, you know, it's only been a year. It could be worse, blah, blah, blah. Well, I said back to them, I said, you know, I fully expect a correction to come to the market. But if you're up 31% in the market since Trump's election, you know, term to date, so to speak, and there's a 10% correction, which would be like historic. It'd be like 50-100-year high for that much of a correction, sell-off and loss. You're still 21% higher than you started at the end of Obama's term. But you should be prepared in that correction. And that's why my friend David Fisher over at Landmark Capital, he's got a new white paper and a bunch of other resources in the Financial Survival Guide for 2018 that he wants to give to you for free just for going there. So go to am970theanswer.com. That's the website of the big Salem blowtorch station here in New York City. am970theanswer.com, and click on the financial survival guide piece and the gold coin. You're automatically entered to win a gold coin from Landmark Capital. The drawing will be on March the 31st. We will announce the winner on April the 2nd. I'm guessing that's a Friday to a Monday. And then someone's going to win a gold coin, 1 ounce, $20 gold coin that's worth about $1,400. So be looking for that. But yeah, so imagine that. Even if a correction comes, most of us will still be better than where we started after Obama had been there for 8 years. That's a lot of progress in 1 year's time. And it's not even the anniversary of his swearing-in yet. That's the funny. We still got several days to go. Anyway, Kevin McCullough, hoping you have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the next time we're together, you know, at this same place, same time, every time. And by the way, go Vikes, beat the Eagles. We'll see you next week.